In 1936, Dale Carnegie wrote his classic work, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Carnegie had two great pieces of advice. Well, he probably had more, but there's two here. The first was, be a good listener. And the second was, ask questions the other person will enjoy answering. More than 80 years later, most people still fail to heed Carnegie's advice. You probably know that. However, that problem is a lot older than 80 years. The two problems of being a good listener and of asking the right questions are woven right into the history of God's plan to save us and bring us back into loving relationship with our Creator God. In general, we will always find that the first part of Carnegie's advice belongs to us, that of being a good listener to God. We will also find that things work best when God's questions to us is not so comforting, but rather makes a demand of us that we change our behavior, that we change our hearts. 4,000 years ago, well, not quite that long, but roughly, Miriam and Aaron were leaders amongst the people, but that wasn't good enough for them. They want a piece of the status that Moses has with God. They try out their own question, which sounds something like, how come he gets to be the one who talks for God all the time? What are we, chopped liver? It's right there in the scripture. No, it doesn't quite say that. After all, hasn't God spoken through us also? Well, what we see should not surprise us, even from this hero and this heroine of the biblical story. They are human after all. And they are jealous of Moses' privileged position with God. Not only that, but they use the age-old tactic of character assassination to attack Moses. What about that Cushite woman, that foreigner he has for a wife? She's not one of us. So in a way, they can't even attack Moses directly. As the text indicates, he is the most humble one of the whole people, which is why God speaks to him as a friend face to face. That kind of intimacy with God always requires total humility, a recognition of God's greatness and our smallness next to God, which Aaron and Miriam forget for a little while. But they aren't really speaking against Moses' wife, are they? In fact, they're not even really speaking against Moses. They are rejecting God's appointed leader, which means they are speaking against God himself. Of course, they don't fool God, whose anger is kindled against them. And here is where God departs quite dramatically from Dale Carnegie's advice. He doesn't ask them a question that they will enjoy answering. God asks a question that you and I should try to avoid having to be asked if we can help it, which of course we always can. And that question is, why weren't you afraid to speak against my servant? It goes beside other equally uncomfortable questions as, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And many other such questions throughout Scripture, and that some of which we might relate to in our own lives. But all is not lost, even when God is angry. So when Miriam is struck with leprosy, Aaron immediately recognizes the sin they have committed. He prays for forgiveness. Today, in today's psalm, we read part of Psalm 51. That was the great psalm, the act of contrition of King David, which he prayed centuries later after our incident today, after he had committed murder to cover up his adultery with Bathsheba. In a way, the church puts those words back in Aaron's mouth. But it is a reminder that even God's greatest leaders will have to humble themselves if they want to be healed, to be able to enter into that intimate relationship with God. Next, we see who prays. Who is it that prays for Miriam and Aaron? It's the one who himself was attacked. This is proof of his great humility, isn't it? In this way, among many others, we here today should see a foreshadowing of another one who is attacked and betrayed and who prays for his persecutors, even while he was suffering their blows and humiliation on the cross. So in some ways, Moses points back to Adam, who before his sin had intimacy with God. But Moses himself had also angered God when he was refusing to go to Pharaoh. You remember that. But he was purified by the service he rendered to God's people. Today's gospel event begins right after Jesus has fed the people. And so we are going to see that Moses also points forward to Jesus in a profound way. So Jesus sends the disciples away so he can commune with the Father in intimate face-to-face friendship. The disciples then are physically without Jesus in facing the storm on the sea that comes up. But when they are at the end of their strength, Jesus comes to them on the water. And we might ask, you know, why did Jesus walk to them on the water? He could have just flown there. He could have just been with them. He could have just simply shown up and calmed the sea. Instead, he shows the disciples what is possible when God is close at hand. And we should note that Peter gets it. He gets it. He sees Jesus walking to them, and he knows that with the humility of Moses and the trust in the Savior, he can do what Jesus does. Of course, when he gets out of the boat and walks on the water, he also fails because of his fear of the wind and the waves. How many times do you and I get inspired by Jesus, by what Jesus does, but we also lose heart because of the storms going on in our lives and in the world? For most of us, I think, I know for me, it's a lot of times. And so with Peter, we are going to hear that other question that Dale Carnegie would advise against if you want good relations with people. But it comes from Jesus himself, the Son of God. You of little faith, why did you doubt? I think you know, brothers and sisters, that when we doubt, we sink beneath the waves. But when we cry out, we also know that Jesus is there to reach out and catch us from drowning. And so if we are to follow Carnegie's other advice, be a good listener, we will hear Jesus say to us, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And so what are we to take from these powerful images today? Well, first, I would suggest that we must do our best to be humble before God, but also to trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. These things are always true, aren't they? Second, we must not be afraid to hear God ask us hard questions when we need them to motivate us to return to humble and intimate relationship with God. I would suggest also that we must acknowledge God's appointed leaders, whether in the church and in society. There's an important proviso here, though. This does not mean that we should accept bad behavior from our church leaders or from our civil leaders. We have seen how, even in the church, we should have asked hard questions of those who abused the trust placed in them. We should have also challenged our government leaders with hard questions about their policies of cultural genocide against indigenous peoples. But that's perhaps going further there is for another time. Finally, though, today, Jesus Christ has opened the door for each person here to have the intimate face-to-face friendship with God that Moses had and that Jesus personified in himself. He is not a ghost. He is our Savior in the storm. So today, let us not be afraid to hear God's hard questions for us when we need them to challenge us to go deeper and to return to God, but also to hear Jesus tell us when we are sinking beneath the storms, beneath the waves, let us not be afraid. Jesus is close at hand.